Good morning, everybody. It is the 12th of October already. Holy cow, 2021, day after Columbus Day. This is the ADK Homeroom coming to you from the heart of the Adirondacks, where we still have leaves. There are still leaves on the tree this year on Columbus Day, which definitely does not happen every single year. It has been quite warm over the last couple of days, too. Felt like summer. Everybody up here is saying that we are going to have a rough winter, very cold. So far, though, it has been blissfully mild. I kind of like it when it snows in October here, actually, though, so I'm hoping to see that white stuff flurrying through the air before Halloween. I would much, much, much rather trick-or-treat with my kids in a snowstorm than in a rainstorm. And seems like it always has to be one or the other out of those, up here at least. So I am hoping for snow by the end of the month, but right now, and we're already almost halfway through the month, right now, not looking like snow. So, first post-Columbus Day podcast. Thought about talking about Rachel Plummer, Sarah Ann Horne, Little Beard, all these wonderful Columbus Day stories. And I thought that actually, though, that it was more important for this first podcast episode after Columbus Day to get to something that Tyler Cowen posted over on Marginal Revolution. Actually, he posted it in his Bloomberg newspaper column. And I was a little surprised to see this. Tyler wrote in his Bloomberg newspaper column the other day that by now he thought that people should be realizing that the mask laws are not being applied and enforced fairly or evenly. His paper was about how the elites are not masked and the commoners are masked. And that was a little bit surprising to me that he would be suggesting that maybe we should be realizing that these laws aren't being enforced fairly or justly or evenly, that all people aren't treated the same under these laws, because I feel like that's been obvious a long time. In fact, I feel like it was very easy to predict, to say, before this all started, that, well, of course, if they do a mass law like that, of course it's not going to be enforced evenly. I remember Fauci going to a Nationals game, baseball game, in the summer of 2020 and throwing out the first pitch, and everybody else, nobody's even allowed in the stadium, but there's Fauci and his buddies in the stadium watching the baseball game being played, and they're not wearing masks, of course. And everybody else is locked out of the stadium. This was the epitome of creating a two-class society, allowing the elites to come in and watch the baseball game. I assume they got popcorn and hot dogs, but I don't know. And everybody else couldn't even come into the stadium. So I feel like it was obvious that, you know, as soon as last summer that we had two different classes, the elites and the non-elites, as far as the mask laws or the mask law enforcement was concerned. But Tyler's article is implying that we had to wait until now to see this, or until now to figure that out. I disagree. But, by the way, Glenn Greenwald had a fantastic article on this exact issue after the Met Gala a couple of weeks ago over on his Substack. He had a very nice satirical piece. Voltaire would have been proud. This was a great satire written by Greenwald over there on his Substack about the Met Gala and how the elites were unmasked and all their servants bringing them food were masked, and how hypocritical that was given what the elites say in their public statements. So here's the thing. If it is true, you know, and Tyler is out there saying it is, other people out there seem to agree with him. He's not getting a whole lot of pushback on this. If it is true that the realization that these mask laws, these mask mandates are being enforced unevenly, had to wait until now. If we couldn't know this ahead of time until now, then maybe some of my predictions would be useful, because I think there are some other things that we could easily conclude about mask laws and other things having to do with the pandemic that seem completely obvious to me, but I'm going to list them here because a couple of them are maybe not completely obvious, but I'm going to list them here because apparently some people out there needed 18 months before they realized, hey, wait a second, actually these mask laws are being enforced unevenly. So here we go. In the service of helping, a public service, I guess, to those to whom these are not obvious, let's go. Let's see what is going to be coming up. All right. Well, prediction number one. Prediction number one might be the easiest of them all. It is that if the mask rules continue, then they will continue to be enforced unevenly and unfairly. And you will continue to have things like the New York City exemption on traveling entertainers and elite people. Australia did the exact same thing, allowing, you know, Nicole Kidman and high status people to go in and out of their country when everybody else was under these draconian lockdown measures. So that's prediction number one, is that it's not going to get better just because people are realizing that we have a two-class system in place when it comes to these new rules. That's prediction number one. And by the way, it goes for vaccines as well, right? There are definitely going to be exemptions allowed for vaccines for the political elites chosen. And it might be because they just need a group to say, oh, look, we are supporting the First Amendment. We are supporting religious exemptions. And so they will pick and choose whom they wish to exempt from vaccines as well as masks. It won't be nearly as uneven with vaccines as it is with masks, but that's partly because it won't be nearly as obvious with vaccines as it is with masks. When you have the paparazzi out there taking pictures of you at your fancy French restaurants, Governor Newsom in California, you can instantly identify, of course, who is masked and who is not, but you cannot do that with pictures of who is vaccinated. You can't tell from a picture who's vaccinated and who is not vaccinated. By the way, it's obviously not true, right, when a lot of these people say, oh, well, we had this 60th birthday party out on Martha's Vineyard, and it's okay for us to be going unmasked because everyone there was vaccinated. Or you have people saying things like, oh, well, it's okay at this party. It's a very sophisticated crowd. They know to be vaccinated. It's okay for us not to be wearing our masks here at this giant gala party. There's no way. There's no way that everyone there is vaccinated that they think is vaccinated. The odds simply preclude it. There are going to be people there. There are always going to be people there who are not vaccinated, right? Even in the highest state vaccination for MMR, right? Measles, mumps, rubella, the highest state is only like 97%, 98% vaccinated. So just even in that, which has, you know, that vaccine has a lot less hesitancy associated with it than this one. And even there, you're still talking, you know, out of 50 people, one of them is not going to be vaccinated, right? If you have two high school classes, you are going to have at least one kid, statistically speaking, ceteris paribus, all other things being equal, you're going to have one kid out of every two high school classes that isn't vaccinated. And if you have a fancy party where you think everybody's going to be sophisticated. Here's a hint. They're not nearly as sophisticated as you think they are. You're extremely arrogant if you think that all your friends are sophisticated and somehow better than the rest of society. It's disgusting arrogance. But it's been that way for a long time. So that's the first prediction, is that if the mask rules continue, they will continue to be enforced unevenly. And to a lesser extent, there will be picking and choosing over vaccines, and they will definitely continue to have partying, they being the elite, high status, celebrities, high power politicians, etc. They continue having parties where they say everybody is vaccinated, but there is no evidence. And in fact, the statistics would say there's no way. There's no way. There are definitely some unvaccinated people there. All right, let's go to prediction number two. Prediction number two. If we do get in the United States new rules, but similar rules to the vaccination, to the mask mandate rules and the vaccine rules, they will also be enforced selectively. So, for example, you could imagine a particular type of mask being required, right? Oh, cloth masks no longer acceptable, right? They already did gaiters and bandanas in, right? And so now if they say, oh, cloth masks are not acceptable, you have to have an N95 or you have to have whatever type of mask. Maybe you need one of those steampunk respirators. I don't know what they'll come up with next. Maybe you need one of those giant portable bubbles that we can all roll around in like hamsters. Who knows what it's going to be next? But those rules will be enforced selectively also. That's your next prediction. Prediction number two, if we do get new rules, then they will also be unfairly, unevenly enforced as well. Maybe it's going to be an Australian-style curfew. Maybe it's going to be another lockdown. Whatever it is, I predict it will not be evenly enforced or fairly enforced. All citizens will not be equal before those laws or those executive orders, which seem to be the same thing as laws today, but they shouldn't be. Prediction number three. Prediction number three is about who will get the favorable treatment. Again, this seems obvious to me, but after I see these Bloomberg things, maybe they're not obvious. So prediction number three is that the people who benefit from the unfair treatment, from the unjust treatment, will always be, or almost always be, high-status, elite, well-connected individuals. The exception to this would be if the powers that be need a smokescreen or need a political touchdown, and they say, oh, look, here, we respect the First Amendment because we're not making this religious group get the vaccine, or something like that. They will pick and choose a couple favored religious groups. That might be the exception to the rule that the high-status people, the elite people, are the ones who are going to be getting the benefit of the doubt, so to speak, when it comes to enforcement of mask and vaccine rules. Again, that sort of seems obvious to me, but then plenty of things have seemed obvious to me, but then other people express surprise. For example, Detroit, right? I grew up in Michigan, reading the Detroit News every day in the late 70s, early 80s, that it was completely obvious to me that Detroit was doomed. Detroit was heading for disaster. Both the auto companies and the political entity of Detroit, the actual city within the city limits in terms of property values, and the status of the city itself, it was falling apart. Very clear to me, obvious to me. And yet, as that unfolded throughout the 90s and the 2000s, people expressed surprise. Uh-huh. So here we go. We'll just keep going with these, to me, obvious predictions, but I guess they're not obvious to everybody. Prediction number four. Prediction number four is that the people who are caught out on camera, or at some point maybe a vaccine record will be made public. It shouldn't be, but somehow something like that might get out. And the people who are caught out as receiving special treatment or people who are breaking the rules that they expect other people to live by, they will not apologize. They will very rarely admit wrongdoing, and they will almost never submit to any sort of penalty, heaven forbid. We've already seen this, of course, and I am predicting that we'll continue. Pelosi certainly didn't come out and say, oh yes, I should be fined for going to the hair salon without a mask when everybody else was staying home and couldn't go to the hair salon, couldn't do anything without a mask. No, you're not going to see that. There will not be apologies. There won't be, I'm sorry, there won't be, you know what, I'm not going to run for office anymore because I am a hypocrite. You won't see that. No, not going to happen. Prediction number 5. Getting a little bit less obvious now, but I still think absolutely going to happen. Prediction number 5. After these masking rules and these vaccine mandates have been in place for a number of years, they will be used out of context of the pandemic, out of context of this 2019 COVID disease, as some sort of justification for further federal, state, local government power. So somewhere down the line, prediction number 5 is that all of these rules and mandates, they will be used as justification or precedent, or even the rules themselves will be enforced to support something completely unrelated to the pandemic. This is not too big of a stretch, right? Of course, you know about the famous masking laws in Georgia, where there were these laws that were passed to combat the KKK, and they said that you can't go around with a mask, ironically enough. You can't go around with the hood because they didn't want the KKK to be anonymous or to be able to hide behind their hood. Now, of course, the KKK, terribly evil organization, and these were good intentions, I am sure, by the lawmakers who passed these laws. But decades later, there was a bill introduced that tried to use that same law to prevent people of a certain religion. I believe Islam was maybe the targeted religion, if I can use that word, to prevent them from wearing their headgear, their turbans or whatever was prescribed, or their masks, whatever was prescribed by their religion. And so that use of this law that was passed under good intentions to stop the KKK gets twisted around and used to discriminate against people of a certain religion. That is a perfect example of how these laws get on the books and then later they are used against innocent people. The more recent, more obvious example would probably be all of the espionage laws passed after 9/11, and they were supposed to be used just against terrorists, but of course they're being used constantly against innocent American citizens, and apparently against princesses, right? There was that story that just came out of the UK the other day. A man from United Arab Emirates was high status, and he somehow had access to these tools that were supposed to be used to spy on terrorists, and he just used them to keep track of his ex-wife. Let's keep going here. Prediction number 6. I don't like it. You're not going to like it. This one I would be glad to be wrong about, but I don't think I am. Shortages, supply chain issues, price increases, all of these things are going to continue at least until next summer. There'll be, of course, some things that get better, but for the most part, they will be with us. All of these issues will not be resolved anytime over the next winter, spring, summer. Going along with that, they will continue into the midterm elections. And I guess this is our next prediction number 7. is that all these issues will be still there in the 2022 midterm elections in the United States. Now, I don't actually think that one is too obvious, because people forget all the time how quickly political fortunes and political topics change. I was just reading a piece the other day by Murray Rothbard. He wrote it in, I think, June of 1980. And he was talking about how now it was obvious that Carter was going to be reelected, right? Just a couple months later, 4 or 5 months later in November, he said it was obvious Carter's a shoo-in now because the Soviet Union had invaded Afghanistan. And that was going to, in his opinion, make it very easy for Carter to be reelected. And obviously that did not happen. So, and that was just a couple months ahead. And Murray Rothbard, right? He's not exactly a amateur when it comes to these things. So, yeah, I actually don't think it's necessarily obvious in this case, but I am predicting that these issues will very much be with us still in 2022 during the midterm elections. Now, prediction number 8. Again, branching out into things that are maybe not quite as obvious as the first 5 or 6 predictions here. Prediction number 8, this is about the virus origins. Listen, folks, without the Chinese records being released one way or another, we will not get definitive closure on the origins of this virus, the SARS-CoV-2 virus. You're just not going to have that longed for, hoped for, or yearned for closure. There is going to be no definite way to say yes, it was this, or no, it was not this, it came from animals, or yes, it was leaked out of the lab accidentally, or the most unlikely of scenarios, it was actually engineered and then released. There's no way it could be released on purpose, could there? No way. That would be the most unlikely of scenarios, but maybe engineered and released by accident, still unlikely. But maybe they were messing around with it, they had it in their lab, and then it released by a lab, by leak from the lab. Well, that definitely seems possible. But we're not going to know. That's prediction number 7. We are not going to know exactly what happens without the Chinese records being released one way or another. And there are plenty of ways to release it. And I think that we should be working toward that. However, there are powerful forces within the government that actually do not want those, within the United States government I'm talking about here, they don't want those records released if they implicate China, if they indicate that it was a lab leak, then the U.S. government actually would not want that news to come out. So I definitely don't think CCP is going to release those records. China's not going to release them. And I really don't think, if it is a lab leak, I don't think that the United States wants them to come out. So seems unlikely that we're going to get it. But the prediction is that without those being released, we will not have a definitive resolution as to where this virus came from. All right, prediction number 9. This one actually has some numbers in it here. Right now, or at least as of a couple months ago in a Pew Research poll, the question is, how much confidence do you have in these various public health institutions, CDC, FDA, things like that? And the not confident at all plus little confidence, not very confident, those two categories add up to only about 20, maybe 25% in some cases. In other words, only about 75% of the people out there are saying that they have more confidence than just a little or none at all in the CDC, the FDA, NIH, all these American institutions that are supposed to be in place to mitigate, prevent even pandemics like this from happening. Well, Prediction number 8. Actually, this is prediction 9. Excuse me. Prediction number 9 is that that level, the 25% maximum, 20% level of combined, not very much and not at all confident, that will not go above 50% over the next year. I could maybe even say longer than a year. For whatever reason, people are going to remain confident in these institutions. And I don't know what that reason is. I don't get it. How can you still trust the CDC? How can you still trust the FDA, right? I will even admit before this pandemic, when I started reading about how the CDC's initial response to this pandemic was to have each individual COVID case faxed in on a separate page, a separate piece of paper to Atlanta. Each individual case was faxed in to Atlanta, and each case had to have its own piece of paper. That was their initial reporting method for this. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh boy, we're in trouble. And I obviously can't trust the CDC anymore. But even before that, right, we should have known, we should know that we can't trust the FDA. The FDA hasn't approved a new sunscreen in the United States in 25 years, since the 90s. That is their level of risk aversion. They're not interested in making life any better for you. They're just interested in not getting blamed for letting one drug through that has even a 1 in 10 million, 100 million chance of causing some sort of problem. That's all they're interested in, is not letting through drugs that have a 1 in 10 million or 1 in 100 million, 1 in a billion chance of causing some bad effect. Not even death, just a adverse effect. That's all they're concerned with. They do not see it as their mission to improve quality of life. No way. So I have zero confidence in the FDA and CDC, but this prediction here, number 9, is that for whatever reason, most people will retain their confidence in Center for Disease Control, Food and Drug Administration, and the like over at least the next year. At least the next year, there will not be a 50% lack of confidence level in them. And it's a shame. Last prediction, number 10. I predict that in the next 2 Supreme Court sessions, so this one ending in June 2022 and the one following that, there will be no broad Roe v. Wade level decisions from the Supreme Court on all of the issues that have come up in this pandemic. There should be, right? There should be. If you have a functioning legal system, it should not take that long until 2024 to get better decisions on this. But I predict that in this term and next, there will not be any broad decisions saying, yes, this is within the constitutional power to do this. No, that isn't the constitutional power to do that. You will get prediction. You will get some cases deciding, that are big cases, and they will relate to the pandemic. But they're not going to. The Supreme Court is going to avoid issuing a ruling that is a broad statement on the Constitution, a ruling that is going to be interpreted widely as forbidding something or enabling something. So, for example, the Obamacare decision would not be a broad decision, right? What they did there is Roberts avoided saying that the government can force you to buy something, and instead of a penalty, it was just a tax, and the power to tax is well established in the Constitution. So I'm not talking about that. We might get a decision on that level, which is a big decision, but it is not the same as the Roe v. Wade decision that found a new right, the right to privacy, within the penumbra of the Constitution. And that has, that actually came down from like the penumbra of the Constitution, then right to privacy, et cetera, came down from like Griswold, which was 5 or 6 years before, or 7 years before Roe v. Wade, something like that. Griswold in Connecticut, I believe, or Massachusetts, anyway, so that type of law, that type of ruling, we are not going to get something like that in the next 2 years. We might get some decisions like the Roberts Obamacare debacle in 2012, but we will not get anything rising to the level of the penumbra of the Constitution or a new right found within the Constitution, nothing like that. Probably sadly, because I think if we do have a major ruling like that, it actually could go well, right, with the current composition of the court. But we won't get that. We'll just get more technical rulings and more dodging the issue rulings and skirting around the elephant in the room rulings. All right, so those are our 10 predictions. Now you get a bonus prediction. This prediction has been around. You know what? Let's make it two. Let's go for the double. Let's go for two bonus predictions. And they've been around for a long time. I've been predicting these things for a long time, right? By the way, if you're wondering about my predictions here, and this is, you know, this podcast is a new thing for me. I've only been at it for 5 weeks now, something like that. So please do find me on Twitter, ADK Homeroom on Twitter, or leave comments here. Remember to subscribe and let me know how I'm doing, because this is all new to me. I'm working on it. Thanks to those supply chain issues, I'm still waiting on some equipment to come through here as I plug along in this podcast. But here are those. Well, so my record, if you don't know, because I've only been podcasting for a while here, my record, let's see, things that I predicted right just about this pandemic, for example, mask enforcement being uneven. Well, that was obviously obvious to me from the start, as I said. Right about not using the legislative process to move through this, only executive orders. Definitely, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, as soon as we get past the 2020 election, this will go away. They're just using this as an issue to attack Trump. I knew that wasn't going to happen. It was going to stay with us right past the 2020 election. It wasn't just about that. Medically, right about kids, you know, right about kids continuing to be immune. A lot of people were saying, oh, it just hasn't hit the kids yet. Or, oh, as soon as, you know, the Delta variant comes around, they didn't predict it, but as soon as the Delta variant hit, they said, oh, it affects kids now. No, it doesn't, and it's not going to. Right about the pandemic still being a problem after we get vaccines, people were saying, oh, once we get the vaccines, this is all going to go away. I was right to predict that, no, it wouldn't go away after we had the vaccines. Some people were saying, oh, can you imagine? There were all these memes at the early stages of the pandemic. Can you imagine how glorious it's going to be to go to that first concert, that first rave, that first nightclub after the pandemic's over? And I was right about predicting that that would not be a single moment like that. It's going to be a long, drawn-out process, and it's going to be a very gradual recovery. It's not going to be a sudden moment of fireworks recovery. I was right about Sweden having just as good or better results as anybody else, you know, and you can't say, oh, Sweden really didn't have better results, because look at the other Scandinavian countries right to them. They're you know, doing better than Sweden. You can't say that. Geographical disparities between neighboring countries, those exist everywhere in the world. Look at Nicaragua and its neighbors. Look at Peru, you know, compared to Ecuador, compared to Bolivia. They have the same difference that Sweden does compared to Denmark. Utah versus Arizona. You look all around the world, you see disparities like this. So, yeah, Sweden did have just as good a result or better results as anybody else, even though they had, not at all points, but at most points through the first 18, 19 months of pandemic, they've had much more liberal policies than other places. I did have a few wrong. I thought the suicide rate would go up in the United States in 2020, and apparently it did not. Attempted suicides, though, did go up like 50% or something crazy like that. And I was wrong about the initial numbers in the first week of the pandemic, even before, really. I think the schools closed down here when it was just hitting over in Italy, in Europe. I figured that maybe we're talking 100,000, a little bit less or significantly less than 100,000. And this was right around the same time that Fauci predicted 100,000 to 200,000. And I said, I bet he's overestimating that. I bet it's going to be less. Well, the numbers did not support that. But overall, I think that my predictions have been doing pretty well here. So here are your two bonus predictions, not necessarily relating to the pandemic. In fact, they don't relate to the pandemic. They're about fusion power, and they're the same predictions that have been made about fusion power. I predict that we will not have, within the next 5 years, a fusion breakthrough that immediately and obviously points to, and then within a decade after that, leads to fusion power being a, let's say, above 20% of the electricity generated in the United States. It's just not going to happen because baseline. This is just a baseline prediction. And you can say that baseline predictions are silly, and sometimes they are, but also they're right a lot of the time. So as a baseline prediction, I will say that, yeah, it hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen. I sure hope it does, though, and that thing at MIT up there has me excited. I would love to see that. But I will say within the next 5 years, we are not going to get that obvious breakthrough fusion power. Here it is, change the world within the next 5 years. I say it's not going to happen. And my confidence level in that is a little bit shaky because of that MIT development, but I'm still predicting it. And then what I am 100% confident in, you can take this to the bank. This is a better bet than Leicester City when they won the premiership. Okay, nothing's a better bet than that. But you can take this to the bank. If we do get fusion power, people will still complain that it is environmentally unfriendly and we shouldn't be using it. And there's something about it that it's terrible. It's using up water. It's heating up water with its waste products. Something about it is going to be horrific and will create protests and will create people who are going to get a lot of attention by saying that it is a horrible idea to go with fusion power. So those are your two bonus predictions. I hope that you are having a super day. Don't forget to subscribe and then find me on Twitter, ADK Homeroom. Let me know what you think. Take care.